A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the final word and it is preview week. So once again, this show is available to you guys on YouTube as a little taste there of the whole host of things that we normally do on the redmentv.com. We beat Napoli 1-0, all is right with the world. Ben Kelly sits in for the once again benched through illness, Mr. Chris Pajak. I went to see him before.
Is he okay?
Oh, no, he's not. He's in such a bad way.
I saw him advertising his Paul McCartney tickets, which was heartbreaking.
So, just to put Chris's week into context, and this is why everyone should be dropping a like on this video and sending their well wishes to him. It was his birthday on Monday, so he was ill, so he couldn't do anything on his birthday. He obviously was meant to go to Napoli last night, so he missed out on us securing a famous victory and placing the Champions League, and he's meant to be at the Paul McCartney once in a lifetime. £250 worth of tickets to see Paul McCartney at the Echo Arena tonight, and he can't go to do that. So yeah, please get well soon, Chris, you poor bastard.
What a week to get sick, that is.
I know, the worst. He just messaged me before, he said this was meant to be the best week ever. How do you respond to that? Oh, are you meant to respond to that? No, that's not how you respond. You horrible, horrible human being. Poor man. I felt so sorry. I pop around to his before, and just his whole family is sick as well. So he's got both his kids are sick, his wife's sick. I think I've been ill, but largely it's been me on me Todd. So I've been able to recuperate, whereas you can't recuperate when you've also got to look after three other people.
Like, the yellow tape around his house under quarantine.
Honestly, the quarantine, the whole road needs to go down at this point. But anyway, yes. Yeah, please, poor Chris. But anyway, yes, Liverpool did win 1-0. They have booked their place in the last 16. Ben, it is very much job done.
Yeah, big sigh of relief was breathed at the final whistle. There was a little bit of pressure coming on in that last 10 minutes. Other than that, though, you know, we didn't have to do too much at the back. You know, there was a few chances, but you know, the last 10 minutes was a nervy one. It was always going to be. That was actually the way I predicted the game to go. I thought we're going to be 1-0 up here without 3 minutes to go, and they're going to be Route 1 football. And they were, but you know, we've got the reinforcements to deal with it now. It's great.
It's another great example, Adam. I think of where we're at. Really, is that we are riding our luck at times, but we're also making our own luck. You know, that game could quite easily have been 4-0 to Liverpool, but you know, if things don't go away, if Napoli are a little bit more on it, they could have easily got the goals that they needed, etc., etc. But I think on the balance, if you match up chances, easy chances that were missed, I think we missed the slightly easier of the chances, Mane in particular, which we'll talk about in due course. And I don't know, but I was a bit nervy, but this Liverpool's different. It exudes a lot more confidence than I think it's done in a very long time.
It's totally different. Like, having those two at the back, and Joel Matip, yesterday was a monster as well, but yeah. Alisson and Van Dijk, I've never seen anything like that as a Liverpool fan in all my years supporting us. There's never been an absolute colossus of a centre-back and one of the best goalkeepers in the world at the same time. Personally, I was surprised that Napoli didn't commit even more in those last 10 minutes, because if we scored again, it meant fuck all.
Yeah.
I don't know why the goalie wasn't up there.
Yeah.
And they just had they were playing like a 0-0-11. I don't know why they weren't just bouncing it around as much as they could.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, they didn't throw the kitchen sink at it for me. Yeah. I don't know why, because 2-0 changed absolutely nothing for them. They still only needed one goal to go through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was... Yeah, it ends up being a little close at the end of the rush. We'll talk about Alisson in due course, of course. But this is what this Liverpool side is. And I'm saying this knowing that it should have been at least three if Mane's a bit more on it. We needed to win 1-0. we turned up and won 1-0 and job's done. We're getting better and better and better at the... What is the requirement of Liverpool this weekend or this midweek? Okay, let's just go and do that.
Yeah, we've become a unit, which is what you're saying before. We've never had in a lifetime before. I haven't as a Liverpool fan. The front three have been our attacking threat for the past 2 seasons or so, and that's what everyone thinks is dangerous. Whereas now, Napoli probably didn't commit because, you know, they need to get past Virgil van Dijk and inform Joel Matip and Alisson to get anywhere. And if they overcommit, well, then you're still in up shit creek because you've got 4 or 5 people going the other way that are just going to score a goal anyway. I just like the confidence as a fan that you can have now of going, this is safe. With Alisson there, every time there's an attack, I'm just like, I'm not worried, I'm not shitting myself. Whereas years gone by, you're thinking, shit, and you are a nervous wreck because you're expecting a goal to come from somewhere.
I was asked in one of the comments last night where this team ranks compared to 08-09. And I'd said, the thing 08-09's got going for it is that you can look back at Mascherano, Alonso, Gerrard, Torres, and even like going back Carragher, Hippier, Reina as the spine of that team and be like, look at them. You know, some of the best names to ever play the game we had in that team. And I think that this team on paper and in terms of reputation isn't quite at that level. But by the end of the season, there's every chance that we'll think this is the best Liverpool team in 30 years. I mean, just in terms of it already is for the first 16 games of the league, of course. It's the best start Liverpool have ever had to a domestic campaign. This is worth pointing out once again, Ross. We've not even gotten to there's a chance this isn't even our best team we've put out last night and still got the result.
That's the best sign for me, is the depth and the interchangeability of it all. If you can have someone to come in. Joel Matip, for example, I've been slating for the past 6-7 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the past 2 games, I think he's been superb. But we have this narrative, if someone's had a shit game, then they're forever shit. And I think we do it with a lot of people. Well, they do it with Jordan Henderson as well. But they come in, and once they have a good run of form, or they're in the team, then
Let's talk about the midfield, and I'll come to you with this, Adam. When the team came out, I think that... I hate that we have to do this every week now, that we have to comment on the social media reaction to things, whereas I just don't think the social media reaction is really a fair barometer at times. But it is worth saying that I must admit, I looked at the midfield and I was a bit... I knew they could do a job because we've seen that midfield do a job. We've seen that team
carry us to the Champions League final.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, but because of how good Keita's looked in the last couple of games, and because of how good Fabinho's looked, I couldn't help but think I wanted one of those lads in there. I think there was a big overreaction to that midfield, but I thought they were all absolutely outstanding on the night.
Henderson was man of the match for me.
Really?
We were talking to this before we started recording with Tom. He was outrageous last night. And as you all know, I've been a critic of his massively.
Did an entire thing on it 2 weeks ago. You got a lot of praise from the people who don't like Jordan Henderson on that one, because you made the against Hendo case.
I do think that these performances, and to pick up on what you were saying about Joel Matip, is part of having a good squad. Is that 2 years ago, Matip knew that his competition that was Lovren and everyone else was behind them too. And it was, well, I'll try and take my chance, but if I'm out for a bit, then Lovren will, but then he'll goose it up and then I'll get to come back in. Joe Gomez has nailed down that spot now. So these two have got to come in and perform like he has in the last 2 games. And it's the same with the midfield. When Naby Keita and Fabinho are looking like, you know, the players we thought we were buying at finally, and I'm saying finally, it's only took a couple of months, and now they look perfectly suited to the system. Then Jeannie Wijnaldum and Henderson and Milner are like, well, we've got to up our game to stay in this team now.
There's one thing you can say about those midfield three, Ben, is that nobody can... You might be able to accuse them of maybe lacking something, like that X factor. Mm-hmm. That none of them are world-class, and I don't think any of them are. You know, in the way... And it's horrible because I think we've had to redefine what world-class is in the Ronaldo-Messi era, of course. They're all international class, and they're all very, you know, they're all fantastic footballers. They're all in the top percentile of human beings for football in the world. But they are, you know, they're not going to be mentioned in the same breath as the Iniestas and the Xavis and the Gerrards and stuff. These lads when they finish their careers, but no one could ever accuse them of lacking steel, of lacking drive, of lacking determination, and of lacking the ability to self-improve. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, you know, in a game like this in particular, they got to showcase all of the things that make them actually they are world class in those particular attributes.
Yeah, and look, I think they certainly are, and that's why they're playing for Liverpool on a big night like that. That's why they've been playing for Liverpool for the last how many years, in big games like this. I was disappointed, I think, for two reasons. I think when they put the team out, obviously we did the team news, and I said it, and they proved me wrong last night. Mm-hmm. You know, they Jordan Henderson, I think I agree, Imre Wijnaldum was my man of the match. But I think, A, because I knew we needed to score, and I wasn't sure how many goals were going to come from that midfield. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen Shaqiri, which is a good testament to our squad depth. We didn't see Shaqiri at all last night. Mm-hmm. But secondly, because of the way they played in Paris, I was like, well, you know, if you think of the names that Napoli had in the midfield, Hamsik and Allen, and you know, Insigne can drop deeper and play around there. I genuinely think that they had a lot more creativity than us, and that we were going to be overrun a bit. But it was the battle and the determination that they had in them, winning the ball back. Henderson in the first half, I think Tom said before we started filming, 10 interceptions where they're just trying to counter-attack us, and he's going, no, I'm having that. And it's that is what that midfield is about, breaking everything up.
It's people. I saw a few people going, this is the midfield that got overrun in Paris. It's the midfield that beat Paris at Anfield. You know what I mean? So it depends what narrative you're looking to follow, doesn't it? And the issue is not the personnel at times. It's the approach. And Ross, we played that like Liverpool last season. We played with gegenpressing. We put them on the back foot. We were catching them out from behind. The work rate shown from like Mo Salah, I thought, was absolutely astounding. He was covering at full back again. It was like, it reminded me a bit of that, like the performance we put in at the Etihad in the Champions League. Some of those big performances last season when every player was clear in their tactical, in their tactical role, and went out there and performed beyond the need, in terms of the work rate that they put in.
It shows me no fuck all, doesn't it, really? Because I saw that midfield and thought exactly the same as you. Where's the creativity in there? Because they're all quite industrious with that steel and work rate. But that's exactly what we needed last night, because they were everywhere. But
the balance was sensational.
But it's not a three-man midfield, though, is it? Because Firmino drops deep. You just said Salah drops deep as well. Everyone fights for a cause and he's everywhere. Whereas Robertson's not just a left-back, he's a winger. But the whole team spirit that he's developed and the competition, which has got to win us the game.
And the other way as well, to be fair, all three chose their moments when to support the attack as well. And Henderson, I think the game was passing him by a little bit in the first half.
He looked
a little bit of a spare part at times. And that's what happens sometimes, and it's good, because I think he shoulders the burden, I think, too much. I don't think he needs to. I think, he takes his responsibilities very seriously. And I think that he does play within himself deliberately at times, but when he started to like let the team do its job and he started to play to his strengths, I said it before, watch any great performance from 13-14, watch the highlights on LFC TV or whatever, Henderson is all over them, because he was so important playing as a box-to-box midfielder. But look at the moment, Milner's in one of four. He gets that. He has that header in the first half. He's at the back stick. There's four guys up front for us, and he's one of them. There's moments where Wijnaldum's doing it, but equally there's moments where they're both covering a fullback, and Henderson's doing the same. And so that's one thing, again, that midfield has, is that it understands perfectly how to play that formation. It understands perfectly how to play that formation in that tempo, in Europe in particular. So, more fool us, I guess, for doubting it to some extent.
I don't think Henderson's helped himself, though, in the fact that, like you said before, 13-14, he was superb. I don't think he's ever got that consistency back that he had there.
He's had injury problems, Ross, hasn't he?
But then his last game, he was terrible and got sent off against Watford. And that's everyone's last memory of him. So when his name comes on the team sheet, you're thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, it's him.
But I know. But that, again, that's more foolish for falling foul of recency bias. And that's where Henderson falls foul of it more than almost any other player, I think, at times, is that people are very quick to overwrite all the good stuff that he's done for Liverpool. And it's just because he's been at the club too long, I think. Lucas had this. Weirdly, I was astounded by how positive the consensus was about Lucas when he left. And I think a lot of it was just people, a younger generation, had grown up with him or what have you, and they were able to look at him in a bit more objectively or whatever. But he never really, we had to suffer him growing as a footballer, didn't we? And that's the thing that Henderson's maybe had to some extent. He's never been the most important player in the team. He's just been a cog, hasn't he, along the way.
And he's had to replace Gerrard. And I'm expecting to beat Gerrard.
Well, exactly. I'm going into a Gerrard-shaped hole when was an unfair comparison to make as well, I guess.
Yeah. I also think that when that team got announced last night, I don't think necessarily a lot of the... Certainly from where I was looking, it wasn't like, oh my God, I don't want these three to play. Because if you look at everyone's predicted all ones and 11s before that, it had at least one or two of those players in. Yeah. I think it was just because Naby Keita has been so good in those two games. Yeah. And they're like, hang on, we know Liverpool, we're going to concede tonight, so that means we need three goals. Where's it coming from with that midfield?
It's the style of play was the most important thing last night, and we decided the best way to play that game was to play the way we did, and that was the classic, was the gegenpress in Liverpool, and the best midfield we have to make that happen is that midfield with no Oxlade Chamberlain, of course, because we clearly don't trust Fabinho in a one match as the sole anchor yet. Judging by how much Jordan Henderson had to bollock Naby Keita when he came on the pitch, he was constantly at him. He was shouting at him for all kinds. He was grabbing. He was telling him where he needed to be. Naby Keita can't be trusted to do a job in that midfield yet. Jean Jacquier, he's not trusted to do a job in that midfield yet. So it made perfect sense. Mm. It's just that I think, you know, we look at those Napoli results. Sorry, the Napoli results away from home. We were just teared. That our style of play was wrong. We got that wrong, completely wrong. Whereas this was like we had to go back to the tried and tested, Ben, and the tried and tested was worked, and it worked brilliantly.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Napoli played into our hands a little bit. I commented. I was sat with my dad, and we noticed early on the first 20 minutes they actually came out a bit. The game was quite end to end, and I think they came out with the mentality of if we get a goal here, we're through.
Yeah.
And that by doing that, that allowed us to be a bit more. About, you know, the games last season that we excelled in were the games where teams came out and had a go with us.
And we would have been the underdogs. Yeah, to some extent,
and then right? And so by coming out and having a go like they did, that allowed us to do the pressing.
Really,
and you know, there was it must have been the first half where they were hunting in packs. There was a moment on the right hand side where Salah, Wijnaldum, Milner, they were all at him, and we won a throw in from it. And there was a massive cheer from the crowd, and that is exactly what we are allowed to do when teams come out. And look, that they kind of felt that they had to do that because they thought, well, if we sit deep, you know, it's rare they're going to stop us from scoring at all.
Mm.
So they must have been thinking, well, if we sit deep, we will concede, and then we're chasing the game. So I think that's the sort of mentality of, well, if we go out and score early, we're going to leave them with a mountain to climb. Yeah. But it kind of played into our hands a bit in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Van Dijk challenge. I have to admit, I mean, and judging by it was on Dries Mertens, right? Yeah. The response and the boos he was getting off the crowd, everyone thought he was play acting. It looked like a wonderful tackle from Van Dijk from the cop. I couldn't see any physical, you know, it looked like he was tough. Yeah. It looked like he had gone in on him. But I never for a second thought it was anything other than play acting. I've watched it back since. Yeah.
Good tackle.
It's a perfectly good tackle.
To the ball.
But it's not. It doesn't make good viewing when you look at the connection on his leg.
Slow motion always makes it look worse, Paul. It's fine.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he was putting his ankle, his ankle right makes angle, it look
that 80-degree angle is not great.
But is it a bucket against the ball? Because he makes a good tackle first, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the fact that his foot, he studs up and his foot's off the ground. I think. I'm not. Look, at the time I was raging. I thought, and it fed into the narrative that the referee was awful, and we'll talk about that in a second. And he was. But he does win the ball, so it is a good tackle. But
serves him right for his comments before the game, anyway.
Yeah,
it's a perfect tackle.
Yeah,
perfect. Not a foul, not a fucking.
If that's on Pro Evo, you're going. That's not a free kick.
Yeah.
Win the ball. He plays the ball. Yeah. I can understand how the referee. I thought
booking was off. Maybe
honestly,
a free kick, but. Given that he gets the ball first, I mean, you've got to look at the...
I think the referee was influenced by the way Mertens reacts to it, because I think he's letting it go, and then he goes, and he starts screaming and rolling around, and again, with the benefits of replay, seeing how his leg bends, I can understand how it might have hurt a little bit. Virgil van Dijk is huge, by the way. There was something so wonderfully graceful about seeing that in slow motion, though, how Virgil wins the ball, ends the man, and actually gets up to his feet in one motion. It's just, it's art. It was pure footballing art. Good. I mean, to be fair, he was a bit of a prick, wasn't he, that Mertens, Adam? And
yeah.
It kind of, it let him know that he was in for the game.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I genuinely don't think... I know I was messing around there going, it's a great tackle. Obviously, he's hurt the player and you don't want that. But I don't think it is a foul for me. I don't think it's a yellow card. And, you know, Mertens for all this chat before the game. When are they going to learn?
Yeah.
Don't.
Just shut up. Yeah, just shut up, you divvy. Don't
and that
talk
goes for
about...
Lovren as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just don't, like, it's a poor attempt at mind games that, again and again and again, doesn't work at Anfield.
Yeah.
It's credit to Van Dijk, though, to get booked up so early on and still remain calm and on his feet, because we don't really challenge those slide tackles. It's really encouraged, is it? Because you don't see it.
No, it's absolutely
but
true.
But he got the ball, so.
Yeah, and to be fair, the referee, I thought the referee was pathetic on the night. Absolutely terrible. Him and his whole team. It was like when you get, and we ironically cheered a throw-in because we got a throw-in, and it was lovely to get a throw-in because we were getting nothing out of him.
He wasn't even consistently shit. We were getting nothing. Yeah. They were getting all the cheap fouls, and we were getting nothing. And it just felt if you were going to be that soft and give everything, it felt as if we were getting nothing on that side.
The amount of times that our players contested for 50-50 for headers
and gave a foul away
and got given a foul, like Milner going like. What am I meant to do? Are we just going to stand here and let it drop and get on with it? Are we going to bounce ball or something?
There was one in the second half.
The worst one for me was when Ospina jumped on his own player's back. No, with Mane. Oh. Ospina jumps over his own player. Mane's like just looking around like, who's jumping here? And he gave a free kick in their penalty box. And I was like, what's that for? Mane's looking at him like, what are you talking about? He didn't even touch me.
The amount of incredulous looks, Ben, from our players to the referee says everything you need to know.
I mean, look, we're not... I like to think, even with the red tinted glasses off, that we have a team full of professionals who are, you know, that we're not playing dirty in that sense. We're not giving the cheap fouls away on purpose. So for players like James Milner, who is widely regarded as one of the most professional players of football in the game, in the league, in the country, to be giving the referee that look, and he's from Slovakia, which kind of tells you everything you need to know. If you're refereeing the Slovakia league, and this is the game that you get, that is a big game. It's the occasion.
They all looked like 70s Bond henchmen as well. Like, you know, they were all there, all in black with their roll necks on. And I just can't help, Ross, because we play Italian teams. And look, you know, I don't have to be careful because it's my channel. I can't help but worry about officials whenever you play Italian teams, because they've got...
It would make it worse if they had a perception of match fixing beforehand, wouldn't it? That would
yeah,
your
you know,
opinion.
If the Italian football had no history of tampering with football matches and officials and all that stuff, then I wouldn't give it a second thought. But the amount of times, and Liverpool have come up against it, cheating from, you know, when it comes to Italian teams, I was sceptical massively. Like, but in fairness, it was probably just because he was dog shit, and him and his whole team were offside, mad offside decisions.
The Van Dijk volley wasn't offside. Kicks. And it was given as offside.
Yeah.
It was given as offside.
There was one that was given as offside where Trent ran in, but he didn't contest it. He stopped because he knew he was offside. And they give it. And it's just, again, the amount, like, Trent ran away and, like, I thought he'd spat at the lines when he went, like, he'd give him this, like, but, like, to shout at him. Like, it was
it's just bizarre because the amount of times that it happened, if you're going to be shit, just do it less often.
But it felt like there was a point I was thinking, I don't want this to be a story. I don't want this to be the story. Because it felt like the officials were conspiring against us. It felt like we were having to work extra hard to be...
If Napoli scored, you're talking about it a lot more than you do.
Exactly. But instead, we're talking about brilliant Mo Salah, Adam.
Yes.
I mean, Ospina is terrible for it, but I mean, watching it's one of those goals that looks worse in slow motion, but in normal time you watch him go through, drop his man, Torres style, glide into the box and slot it. Just amazing.
Forget Torres, lad. Yeah, Salah style.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I was saying to you before,
he's ridiculous.
Premier League top scorer, absolute match winner, like, back to his best. He was unbelievable against Bournemouth. And that goal last night was better than any of the ones he scored against Bournemouth. Mm. unbelievable footballer, and we're so, so lucky.
Against
to
one
have
of
him.
The best centre backs in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. That left back, we're having therapy today because he put him on his arse twice and ended Koulibaly.
Koulibaly is amazing. Yeah. Koulibaly is absolutely amazing. And the amount of times they went up against him, and he's getting decent change out of Salah here, and the fact that he kept going. And that was the most exciting Mo Salah performance for a while. And look, Ross, because he was on the wing, we've said this. He scores goals for fun because he's a centre forward, he's a natural finisher. Yeah. But there's just something to putting him out wide and having him chase things down and getting to explode a bit, use his pace. That was a thrilling Mo Salah performance.
I said that on the Man of the Match podcast. It's a credit to him to go from centre forward at Bournemouth, learning a new role, to then...
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
3 days later, going, watch, you know, you're going to be out here again now. But he was a threat from the get-go. He should have scored that early chance where Robertson puts it round to him. He should have scored later on. But he's always in the right position. He's always trying. He's always doing stuff, which makes him as good as he is. You have a perception he's not as good as he is because he misses a lot of chances, but he's still there to create them. Same as Mane, it's where the frustration comes from.
Yeah.
But he's that goal was just ridiculous. About that cut at Bournemouth, looking at Koulibaly now, and just going, oh, I'm not that bad now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing I really love, I don't know whether it was picked up by the cameras, Milner and Trent both geeing the crowd up when the goal went in. Like Trent Milner was doing this, but Trent was like...
He's just one of us, though, isn't he? You know, if he's not on the pitch, he's in the cop anyway.
I reckon if you asked Trent
to
come and sit on this couch and review this game, he'd be here. He's a Liverpool fan.
Should have done that, really, shouldn't I? Shit.
I'm asking you again, Adam. Trent.
Yeah.
Just keep sending him twisted DMs.
It's good to have you here, though, Adam.
Thanks for having us. Be my last one, lads. So.
Yeah. Salah's celebration as well. I know we spoke about it against Bournemouth. I'm a massive fan of it now. Everyone's trying to get this narrative that he's pissed off or he's not happy.
Nice. I love the celebration. Yeah,
I think he's doing it. But you never see he's not smiling when he's celebrating. He doesn't fucking have to.
He's smiling all through the game, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rice smiles when he's missing stuff and things that aren't coming off. And look, again, he's celebrating. He does it. He is a bit like, isn't this great? Aren't I great? Isn't life wonderful?
He's earned that. He's allowed to celebrate however he wants.
If he wants to.
And also, it looks boss.
Yeah.
Just bouncing away from the goal, like, what? Yeah, I megged them.
Yeah.
I'm a one season wonder lad.
Maybe,
sit down, that's been a
like that. No, he's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Question, Ben. Following on from the referee and stuff, and a bit of Mo Salah in this, actually, because there was a shout. There was a lot of shouts from me late on in the second half. And he goes around the goalkeeper and he gets fouled. He could go down there quite easily. Do you think we still need to be a bit more snide?
I think it depends on the context of the game. I don't think he gives that if he goes over, and I think there's a possibility that he doesn't, given obviously we're in the second half then, so we've got the track record of how the referee's been.
I think our players could have got clotheslined last night and he wouldn't give
I think in the back of the mind he's going, I'd rather just keep this alive here than go over and not have it given and lose the ball. I think it may be in another situation if you had a proper referee and
English, or if he took the penalties.
Well, yeah, maybe. But I think he also doesn't know what's going on behind him. So he's still probably half him still thinking, well, I can maybe just slot this in. So I think there is. I think if there was a, I think we would be. I think he would go over if he knew for certain.
I think Shearer goes down. I think Owen goes down. I think proper centre forwards go down in that. Yeah. Neymar obviously. Like Neymar's gone down 20 yards earlier. Like,
I think Neymar went down when.
People watching the Belgrade. Telematics just in front of you. Oh, Mo Salah's just been fouled in the Liverpool game. Yeah, absolutely. Sympathy pains from Neymar.
I don't want us to be more snide. Like, I do at times.
You don't want us to be more
defensively.
This sounds like you're just saying words to say words here, Adam. I'm going to let you. You don't want Liverpool to be more snide.
No.
Just 100%.
Not while the going's good, no.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's 0-0 in the
80s... I'm calling bullshit, like, but carry on talking, like.
If it's in the 87th minute on Sunday against Man United, I want the worst non-pen, and I want it to bounce off both posts and hit the keeper on the arse and go in. I want it to be snide then.
But I think Liverpool need it also. I'm not sure you can switch it on and off. I think maybe European football, you look stupid in the Premier League because Mane dives all over the place in the Premier League and looks like an idiot. But I think in those games, they were going down at every touch. We saw that Paris Saint-Germain were doing the same thing. You know, I think in Europe, you get more stuff. And this is not necessarily the Salah thing, because I must admit, I do agree. I think if Salah was on pens, I think he'd dive all the time. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting a free shot at goal, you're going to get your goal regardless, which I think he thinks he can still score or get an assist off that. But I think the amount of times where we're going through and just take a free kick on the edge of the box. Get a few buckins, you know, take something out of the game. I think that's where we're still lacking a little bit. I mean, look at the Champions League final. The Real Madrid are the kings of snide. I think you've got to have that. I think you've got to be pricks in Europe in particular.
But we did it a little bit with that. I mean, I know Trent was genuinely injured, but I think when we were making one of the subs, Milner sat down for a bit. We did a little bit of that, not to the extent
Robbo
of PSG.
Robbo did for a throw-in where they were trying to get it to him, and there was two balls that both bounced off him because of full Ashley Cole.
They've noticed that.
I'm all for this. When I say snide, I'm talking about diving. Do you know what I mean? I don't want Salah going down. I loved it the other day against Bournemouth when someone volleyed his heel and he was like, nah, lad, I'm just going to go and put this in the corner. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean.
You're right, it's a fine balance, isn't it? Because if he does do that, he goes down and maybe we don't score and the game's a different game. So fair play. But I'm talking about it in a general sense. That stuff, but also I do think we need to be a bit canny. We're getting our players booked because our opponents are going out of their way to do it. It's a part of the European game. I'm not saying I condone it. I love honesty and the integrity of the game, but also I like winning and I like other teams losing.
I think defensively we need to do it a bit more. I think you look at that Red Star goal and you're thinking, I think it was Gini at the time, of just take him out and just take a booking. We need to be a bit more clever doing that. Don't take it to the extent that Jordan Henderson did against Watford and get sent off though. Mm.
Salah did something great last night when Espina is trying to set up a counter attack and he just ragged his arm back and got bugged for it. Yeah. You see that? He's just like, nah, lad.
Yeah.
I'll have the yellow card. Nice one, ref.
Thanks for that. Well, again, fine. You know, more of that stuff, certainly. Andy Robbo. He's just incredible, isn't he? Mm. Around this time last year, he got into the team, didn't he? And I think it was probably toward the back end of December and he put a performance in and I said, I think we've seen the limit of Andy Robertson. And I think in games where you're tasked with winning the football match, I think we're going to regret having someone we're going to regret not going out and buying someone amazing for the left-back position. And I was miles wrong because his vision is so underrated. And it's not. It's not by people who watch him every week because he could literally come up with an assist at a game the way that he plays. The ball that he plays for Mo Salah, where Salah completely miscontrols it, the ball he plays for Mane, he could have had two assists quite easily on the night there. And in addition to the amount of times where they thought they were in and he just stole the ball off and strode down the pitch with it. He made one mistake in the whole game and that was when he drove into the middle of the pitch and he lost possession and Van Dijk absolutely tore a strip off him for it. Other than that, Adam, it was the perfect left-back performance.
It was. It cost £8 million.
He was free. We swapped him for Kevin Stewart.
Yeah. That's the funny bit, isn't it? Yeah. Like, a player who was literally never, ever, ever going to get near our side. And we were like, hey, any chance you want this kid... What's his name? Kevin Stewart, yeah. take him. And can we just have that lad who might become the best left back in the world? Can we have him? He's absolutely outrageous.
Does Kevin Stewart still play for Hull?
Who gives a shit?
I don't know, it's just a question. you're right.
Honestly, good
that was funny as fuck.
I like Kev Stewart, that's easy to
love. Do you know what I love about Andy Robertson? The fact that he's Scottish. Yeah. And with Liverpool's history with Scottish players, yeah. the fact we've got another Scottish lad, he's made up to be at that club. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look at what's happened over the last sort of 10 years and whatever with Suarez and Coutinho, and they've come to the club and they've, like, clearly at all times, even though when they're coming out in the newspapers going, oh, I love being here and whatever, the back of their heads, they're like, one day I'll get to that Barca team, one day I'll get to that Madrid team. He's not thinking that. Yeah. He's, Jesus Christ, I'm at fucking Liverpool. Mm. And do you know what? I also think Van Dijk's like that.
Yeah.
I don't think Van Dijk's got an eye on anywhere. I think Van Dijk wants to, he wants a statue outside that ground
yeah.
in 15 years' time. I love that he probably thinks he's reached the pinnacle of his career, or that he's going to work his ass off. He's a working class lad who's going to put that running and win that ball back because he wants to stay in that team.
Liverpool's
forever.
History is littered with football players who think Liverpool is the destination, and what I mean by that is they think being at Liverpool means they've made it, mm-hmm. and that's it. Like Jermaine Pennant's a great example of that. He had a good season or so for us, of course, but a lot of lads who get there, Harry Kewell was a bit like that. You get lads who go, ha, I'm here, I'm in the promised lands, mm-hmm. there we go, job done. The rest will take care of itself. Andy Robertson has come to this football club and he's better. He's getting better, he gets better every single week. This lad is just... I said this on the Instant Match Reaction, Ross, I'm running out of superlatives to describe Andy Robbo. He's everything. He is, I talk all the time about this, and I've actually got a video coming up on my YouTube channel talking about what it is, why I love football and why, you know, it's about the moments and the destination and the performances that you see along the way. Andy Robertson, I never came up at the time, but he sums it up for me. He's that lad, you watch him out on the pitch, and if someone gets the better of him, it's just because it's not because he hasn't gone out there and busted a gut for it, and it's for no lack of anything else. It's just that it happens periodically. You can trust Andy Robertson will always go out and give absolutely everything, and that's for me typifies this Liverpool side and everything we actually want to see from this Liverpool side.
Yeah, I said before when I do my player ratings, I could copy and paste it every week and just write the same thing because he's consistent and that's what it is. I think he's relatable to the fans, like you said, because he's working class. And much like James Milner, it's that grit and determination that you want to see week in week. You don't care if someone's trying to be fancy or whatever, you just want someone to work the bollocks off, and I think that's what you get with him every week. And it's like the honesty with him as well. I think you just know he's an honest lad who just wants to work hard, and he doesn't take that place in the team for granted. And the biggest thing for me is I can't fathom, still, he seems to be everywhere up and down that pitch. And I know he gets compared to Moreno because that's his replacement, he makes him look even worse than he actually is, mm-hmm. I think. But the fact that he's always on the left wing supporting
Mane. I don't think that's true. I think he just highlights how shit we were willing to accept before he's...
Yeah, well, Allison's the same.
I think we're seeing this with players all over the pitch, aren't we? And this is Liverpool have never been in this situation. Because we've had to sell to buy, but like we're still selling to buy because we sold Coutinho and we sold Suarez and we've done all this kind of stuff. But the way we reinvest the money is different. We used to have to sell like 10 players to buy one or two, yeah. and that meant that we were constantly selling lads who were probably good enough to be in the squad, and then having to buy a couple of lads to make up their space. And Rafa had to do this all the time. Like Peter Crouch is an example of it. Peter Crouch should have stayed at Liverpool for two or three more seasons easily. But we just couldn't afford to keep him round because he was £11 million sat there that we needed to put to reinvest in the side. This squad is evolving, and that's the thing. Moreno is an absolutely fine left back. He's going to go and he's probably going to sign for like Arsenal. He'll go back to Sevilla or he'll probably go to a Champions League club in the summer. And we shouldn't be surprised by that fact because he is a good left back, as much as we like to laugh about it at times. Andy Robertson's just a better left back. And that's what we're doing. We are taking these lads and we're improving upon it. It's no slight on the lads that have gone before. It's just that we're very good at identifying the right mentality and the right skill level to improve.
And
what
the best
we're doing.
Bit is, I still think he's underrated by the rest of the league. Yeah. I think City fans and Chelsea fans all look at it and go, well, I'd rather have Alonso, because like, again, you touched on it before, they're not watching him week in, week out. When you watch him consistently and you see how consistent he is and what he does every week. He is the best left back in the league for me. You know, Mendy on his day is fantastic, but where is he half the time? You know what I mean? And we've got a lad there who just does his job. That, you know, the rest of Europe doesn't even notice. They go, because it's Andy Robertson. It's not the most flamboyant name in the world. There's nothing about him that is eye-catching in terms of physical.
But marketable is just the thing, isn't it?
But he does his job. He's a normal bloke doing his job, and it's great to watch.
That's the thing about it, and it gets slides in. And this is the thing we have about having such a worldwide fan base at times. I think that people malign the British lads. That they naturally do, because look, they're not as naturally gifted or as talented, they're not as fast or as powerful or as skillful and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of the ones we have are workhorses, you know, the lads who do the dirty work for the team. That is the core of how this team plays. That passion, determination, work rate, all that stuff is absolutely integral to how Liverpool play. And that's one of the reasons why Keita, Fabinho have had such a tough time breaking into this side, because... Yes, I think Keita is more technically gifted than all of the lads who started in the midfield, and even like Genie in that as well. But does he have can he match the game intelligence and experience of Milner?
Not at the minute.
No, he can't, and he might well do, and he might well go to surpass him, and he has the skills in his locker to do that. But until he proves that he can do that, Milner's going to get a lot of game time. You know, same with Henderson's going to get a lot of game time because they fundamentally understand how we play. In addition, they speak the language, which helps as well, and all that kind of stuff. Like, but they get it.
And what you were saying before about how like we're just improving on these things, that's exactly what Klopp said in his press conference when we signed Alisson. He come out and they were like, well, you paid a lot. What does this say for the other keepers? And he's like, look, there's a world-class keeper on the market. Karius and Mignolet are good goalkeepers, but we've spent this on him because we think he's one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
They're good keepers. We're not saying they're not. We still want them at the club, but he's just the guy we want to improve the team.
Yeah.
He's very flat and brutal about it. And
He said to Carragher last night in an interview, didn't he? He said, if I'd known Alisson was this good, I'd have paid double.
And we owe Roma a lot of money. We owe Roma so much money.
How is it possible? Like, it's incredible, isn't it, that we paid as much money as we did? We broke, you know, effectively what had been our long-standing, the Andy Carroll transfer record, which stood for so long, and both of those lads broke it, and we're not batting an eyelid.
He's added character as well as quality to that team as well, and then healthy competition on top of that, and an elite mentality, which is the major difference that we've not had.
Well, we're going to talk about the goalkeeper a bit more in a minute, but Dave Barlow actually said on the instant match reaction comments, if Andrew Robertson was called Robertino, Barcelona would be slamming in a 45 million bid this summer.
That's cheap.
Yeah, and it's cheaper. You know,
he wouldn't get him.
Yeah. Not for 45 million quid, like, no, not at this point in time, because that's the thing, isn't it? People do cream the pants over the Marcellos and the biggest left backs in world football. Look, Robbo's got 5 assists in 20 appearances, no competitions this season. He could have had double that easily, but for that finishing and that moment, it's not his fault that he's not got more assists. It's the fault of our forwards not scoring more goals, basically, is the reason why that's happened. So yeah, I wouldn't swap him for anyone at this point. Joe Matip, we touched upon it. Ross was really good. Really good again.
Yeah. Like I said, I've criticised him for the past couple of weeks, but it's amazing when someone has a good run of games. And I think it's another reflection on Virgil van Dijk that he can be paired with anyone. And I think he's probably raised his game as well. But when Joe Matip was there before and Virgil van Dijk wasn't, the roles were different. So we had van Dijk's role and he wasn't good enough to do that. Whereas now he doesn't have to worry about half the stuff because he knows he's got him next to him.
He's one of those players, isn't he? Like a number of players we've got, Adam, who gets worse in your memory, gets worse for not playing. And he's one of those things. He's a big lad. Big lads actually take games to get into the rhythm of playing. That's just the way it is. It's our curse. But it happens in every area of the pitch. It's why Van Dijk plays as many games as he does. I'm sure if Van Dijk played handful of games and missed a handful, he'd struggle to find rhythm as well. We've seen it time and time again. He's fine. No one's accusing Joel Matip of being a world beater, But this notion that he's shit was just wrong. He was one of our best centre halves when he joined the club. We were gutted when he couldn't play for us around that time when he had the African Cup of Nations issue, and we couldn't play. We were worse for not having him available for us. He lacks a bit of intensity, I think, sometimes. But he's getting better at that side of his game. I still would like to see. I'm not sure he's the perfect foil for Van Dijk, because I think you need someone there who's prepared to really put the body on the line. But you look at that header he wins, last touch of the game, and he just gets up and he booms ahead and he gets put on the ground, and you just can't fault. He didn't shake a single thing last night.
He didn't, and he has been really, really good. And it just goes back to what we're saying earlier. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, as soon as Gomez comes back, it's his spot. Gomez has made that his own. But Matip has put, over those two games, has put a big shout in. They had to go, I'm number three. Mm-hmm. And Lovren has been fine as well. But what an option to have. We've now got... The thing is, 18 months ago, even a year ago, it's not even January yet, a year ago, the two lads we're talking about there, Lovren and Matip, were our first choice. They are the centre-back pairing. And now, it's like, do you know what? You're both sound lads, yeah. But we've improved on you. And you're the backup now. What a great backup to have.
Yeah, that's it. We've had some teared centre-halves, and this is just another example, Ben, of us just improving the squad and growing beyond players, but it doesn't mean they're terrible. We keep saying that these guys are made to look awful, I think, when we make like five or six changes to the team.
Yeah.
And we hang a lot of these lads who are out of rhythm and out of match sharpness, and we hang them out to dry a little bit by expecting them to come in and be as good as the first 11. But if you have to draw in isolation or in dribs and drabs one or two guys into these teams,
I actually think, from my perspective, it's quite the opposite. I think the problem we get when we play these players is if you play them for over 30 games over the course of the season, particularly at Lovren and Moreno, you're going to get mistakes out of there. But if you're only playing them for 15, 20 games, spread out over the course of a season, obviously they're playing less, and that means you're going to get a lesser ratio of mistakes, if you like. So that for me is why we've seen an upturn, well, an apparent upturn in form in Lovren and Matip, because they're not on the pitch as long to have bad games. And again, as you said before, it really is a compliment to Van Dijk that really you can shove anybody next to him and he brings out the best game. And you know, we've talked about how much he's helped Joe Gomez grow as a player this season. And that is down to Joe Gomez himself taking on the responsibilities, you know, putting his body on the line at times. But I genuinely don't think Joe Gomez would be as good with any other centre-back at Liverpool. No. I don't think his career would come on as far this season. But I think that is a real compliment to Van Dijk, that you can shove Joel Matic, almost a forgotten man really at the beginning of the season. Somebody who, you know, he comes in against Bournemouth. We were doing the Bournemouth build-up show and going, do you really want Matic running towards his own goal with the pace that he's got? I mean, he's dealt with it fine because he's got the confidence. Not only has he got the confidence of somebody, but he knows that, you know, if he does make a mistake or whatever, he's got one of the best centre-backs in world football alongside him, and that's
looking at potentially a spell in the side.
Yeah, great.
You know, I keep going back to this. I think that was his Klopp's preferred defensive partnership, and injury to Matip meant Lovren had to come in. Because when he was given the choice of who do you partner him with Lovren, he could have partnered with Lovren straight off the back, and he never. Lovren had to earn that right. So I think he's pretty happy to give Matip a go, give him a run, and so far it's paying dividends. And fair play, you know, what that gives him such a boost, because Lovren was there. Lovren recovered, Lovren trained. He's on the bench last night. Obviously comes on at right back. Dear God, let us never see that again. But but he could have easily just dropped Lovren in there, but he's gone to Matip. No, good game at the weekend, mate. Here you go. This is your spot now. Take it and see what you can do with it. I think it's absolutely fair play. On Van Dijk, Virgil, just edit, lad. Just edit. Stop trying to do fucking shit side volleys. Now, you got away with one in the derby, and that will never be forgotten.
Go for the crossbar again, won't he?
Yeah, if you're going to do it, hit the crossbar. You guys,
Virgil, ignore him, lad. Do what you like.
He has that chance at the back post. Unless Deja Lovren just ends that and probably scores. Virgil van Dijk, you can be too good.
Could have squared it to Mane.
Yeah, he'd have missed anyway. it's a great chance. It's great that he has that ability in his locker, Ross. But Virgil van Dijk needs to start scoring some fucking goals for Liverpool.
He's got the confidence to try and take it on.
Yeah,
Again, if it was a draw or he'd gone out or whatever, you criticise him a bit more, but fuck it, I like the fact he's got confidence to try and try and do it, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Alisson Becker, wow. Wow. I've been saying it for way.
Been waiting for this bit.
He just makes me, I've said it, he just, he causes feelings in me that no other man ever has. He's just something else. I got into the ground quite early, and I love watching the warm-ups, but I often miss the goalkeeper warm-ups. I watched every single second of his warm-up. He's a fascinating. Yeah. He's a fascinating man. I love everything about him and Adam. That people can talk about the transfer fee, and it's brilliant that no one really has this season because he's been great since he came in. One or two little hiccups aside, but who's asked? We were talking about on the car ride home from the ground last night. The talk that game was worth like 10 million to Liverpool, so you've got your win bonus plus what it costs you to get into the last 16. Say like 10 million quid. He's the amount of points that he's won us already, in addition to that, he has effectively won Liverpool a place in the last 16 with that save at the end there. He's paid back like what, a sixth of his transfer fee effectively with one save.
We have given Roma £100 million for him and Mo Salah, and you wouldn't get them back for 200, and it's less than 2 years later.
Yeah.
Like, that save last night, I'd have seen someone say, it's straight at him. It's like, it's straight at him because he's moved ran at him and made himself massive. There's nowhere else to put the ball.
Yeah. It's not like he was stood on his goal line, turned sideways like this.
Having a bare ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's hitting at him.
He's gone, he's spread himself. And again, it's not like, I think people look at things, I think people overanalyse goalkeeping things. It winds me up because this the level of goalkeeping analysis in football is pathetic. Like, people just don't understand what they're looking at a lot of the times. And it's not like he puts a hand out and says, it's not like people think that the Dudek save in the Champions League is, you know, it's one of them. It's all instinct. It's all just being a goalkeeper. It's all a bit hopeful.
Yeah.
It's a little secret for goalkeeper. A lot of it is, it's why it's called reflexes. It's not a conscious thing a lot of the times. It's just, some of it is gambling. Some of it is knowing, getting in the mindset of your opponent and taking it and going, I think it's going here. And that's how you steal a march. Mm. And that's how you make things. That's how you make saves a lot of the time. And some of it is just your body just does stuff based on instinct.
That's what makes an elite level keeper, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact, like...
Well, do you know what makes him an elite level goalkeeper?
Is that is his reflex.
He's done. Basically, he's had very little to do all game. And it comes to one crunch moment, one deciding moment in the football match. One moment where every good thing we've done is about to come unravelled, and we're about to enter the Europa League, and Alisson's just gone, nah, I'll save this, thanks. Mm. And he has done.
That's elite mentality, swagger and confidence, which has been installed since...
I celebrated it like I'd watched Gerrard's Olympiacos goal again. Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah.
I've seen it going. My brain automatically played the video where that hits the back of the net, and everyone's just like that. And then I was like, hang on, what the fuck's that?
In the depths of stoppage time, that's what you pay money for. And there was just this collective in the ground. When he goes through, we go, oh no, it's happening again. And then he saves it and it goes up and it goes away. And you're like, what? You just saved that. I tell you, you just saved that.
Did he get a hand on it as well?
I think it kind of hits here, doesn't it?
Yeah. I thought it hit there and then it's going in and he does this as well.
Yeah, but it's got, for me, saves are best appreciated in real time. Mm. I think whenever you watch a save, I've said this in the past, I remember doing this when we were doing some of the Ball Street FC games and people say like a really good save. It's like, the problem with stuff is when you watch it back as a goalkeeper, unless you are full stretch and it's fingertips and you fingertip it onto the bar and it comes down, nothing ever looks quite as good. Watch it in real time. He's got no right to keep that out whatsoever. It is.
I don't think Jordan Pickford would agree with what you've just said.
Fingertip
onto the bar, it comes down.
Absolutely.
Onto someone else's head.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been consistent as well, though, because this is like the third or fourth game now. I think the Burnley game, he did something similar. Everton, he spread himself and blocked it on the goal line. But that's what you want. Even if like you get past Virgil van Dijk, I've never been so secure of going, This is sound. Yeah. He's got it. He's
still going to beat Alisson.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and this is the thing. People have been raving about David De Gea for years because he makes big saves. And he makes loads of them. That's because Man United's defence has been crap for a while. So he has too much stuff to do. But this is the thing, Alisson's making one save a game that's saving a goal, and that, and so more often than not, it's when the tie is either level or there's a goal, or there's one goal in it. He has won us so many points. And we've got a comment from Brand Ninja 777. So Alisson has saved us 9-10 points in the league already. Pardon me, I'm pretty much sent into the Champions League knockouts, not just with a save either, prevented the PSG scoreline from being bad for us, which is, you know, again, we need to do the goal difference now we've gone through. Is Alisson the best goalkeeper in the world with this level of impact for us this season? I'm sure there's people out there, because there's YouTube comments, it's just full of AIDS, that there'll be people who go, no, it's insert goalkeeper name who someone's they love off, you know, FIFA or whatever. Maybe
Handanovic. Yeah, he's an asshole on FIFA.
Whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe people watch, you know what I mean? Maybe people watch loads of the Bundesliga and they want to throw names out there. I'm not asked. The point is, in terms of his impact, there'll be no one better, is what I'm saying. Mm. There might be goalkeepers who've had just as much impact, or maybe factionally more, but I can only contend that you'd be splitting hairs to say there's a goalkeeper who's been better for his football club this season than
Alisson. Well, there was, I saw this morning an Opta stat on, you know, they do the XG and all that as well. So the average goalkeeper this season would have conceded 9 more goals in all competitions than Alisson this season. I'd be really curious to see if there were any goalkeepers anywhere who would have saved more, essentially, you know. But you know, they do the XG in terms of the, you know, the quality of the chance you're expected to score from this position. It's what I said. The average goalkeeper would have conceded 9 more goals. So for me, and then I don't know how that correlates to points. It didn't go into that detail. I mean, this guy's saying 9 to 10 points. I don't know if that's just off his own back or if he knows that, you know, more in detail. But for me, De Gea's definitely not made that contribution.
He's not having a good season.
He's not. He's not. He's a world class goalkeeper, but he's not. He didn't have a good World Cup.
He's been the best in the world for four or 5 years, but like, he's not having his best season.
And
this is coming from a place of sort of an inferiority complex as a Liverpool fan because of what we've been through with transfers over the past few years. I tell you what's a massive sort of sigh of relief for me when it comes to this goalkeeper is every other club in world football has got a goalkeeper that they're very happy with. The ones that could pick off us, the Madrid, they've just signed Courtois. Ter Stegen's great at Barcelona. He's going nowhere. He's not going to go to anywhere else in the Premier League. Buffon and Areola are sound at PSG. Like, we're probably going to have him for a very long time.
It's not a disservice to Alisson, but he probably looks even better because of the shit that's gone before him.
Yeah, no, but it goes both ways, doesn't it, Ross? Because it's a double-edged sword. He was being ironically applauded when we signed him, but you know, remember the Dublin game, and it was going, way, when he was catching stuff, he had to come into that environment where
he got applauded at the Roma game at Anfield as well.
But
he resigned.
But what I mean is, everyone was, because of the carrier stuff.
Oh yeah,
he came in a world where he was double scrutinised because of how bad our goalkeeping situation had been. Yeah. So as much as it gave him room to manoeuvre, because he was only going to be better than what we'd had. Any mistakes, he was going to be, every touch was going to be hyper-analysed, and he's borne it on his broad shoulders phenomenally well so far.
Also, that mistake he made against Leicester, you forgot about it, haven't you?
Yeah.
But
he'd forgotten about it seconds later, so it didn't affect the rest of his game.
That can ruin a keeper's confidence for months, I've cost my team a goal there, but we won that game.
Well, look, he's had moments, and he's not perfect. And I've been saying this for yonks, there is no such thing as a perfect goalkeeper. It's not possible, particularly if you're a goalkeeper who has to play the ball out as well. Now, we're looking at his distribution.
Gave one away last night towards the end of the first half.
He did one against Bournemouth as well.
He gave it to Firmino as well, yeah.
Mm. Did one against Burnley, where he played us into trouble. But this is the thing. It happens, you know, goalkeepers will make mistakes because you're at the business end of the pitch. You're on a knife edge. They are the fine margins in the role that you play. It's just that he puts credit in his bank because he's making important saves and because he's so good at football and he's so confident and his distribution is world class as well. The amount of stuff that he just sorts out, he's absolutely unreal. More Alisson in our lives, please. Right, we're going to talk a few more things to go through, but I want to make everyone aware of the fact that, as I've said, this is Freeview Week, which is a week that we do periodically where we put the stuff that we normally put behind the paywall on the redmentv.com, we put it out there so that people who've maybe sat on the fence or just wondering what the hell it is we do and we keep saying, go over to the website and do this. We put it out here for you to all to look at and get a taste of. It's Christmas, we did this last year. We have got the Red Men TV Christmas hamper giveaway coming up. we gather, we get so much stuff that comes our way, so many cool things, bits and pieces of like, you know, toys and games and merchandise and all these cool things. We put together a massive hamper. It's a competition that is open to subscribers to the RedmenTV.com. So if you go to the RedmenTV.com and sign up, you are in with a chance of winning this absolutely phenomenal hamper.
It's that time of year again for all our wonderful subscribers on the RedmenTV.com. It is the Christmas hamper competition, chock full of Redmen TV Christmas sweatshirt, scarves, a Pro Evolution Soccer game, a Kevin Keegan book, signed print, and a whole hell of a lot more. All you've got to do to be in with a chance of winning that is sign up to the RedmenTV.com. It's available to new and existing subscribers alike. And in addition to that, of course, you get amazing content the whole year through.
So yeah, obviously you can enjoy all the free view content on YouTube this week, but then if you've enjoyed it and you've liked it and you want an added bonus for going over as well, it's available to existing subscribers and new subscribers. Go over there, you will be in the draw to win that hamper automatically, and you get all this amazing content every single week, every single month. It's absolutely brilliant. And there's so much amazing content on there as well. Interviews with Jürgen Klopp, interviews with John Barnes, interviews with Bruce Grobbelaar, interviews with Lucas Leiva, and a whole host of other things as well. So yeah, do get over there, get involved. And in addition to all that, the first month is completely free as well. So not only have you had this, you get the first month and you get the chance to win our incredible hamper. What more could you ask for? Get over to RedmenTV.com and sign up. Sadio Mane, we have to talk about it. I don't like talking about the bad things, but Adam's finishing was pissed last night.
If Alisson doesn't make that save, I'm ready to smash his head in. Like, Jesus Christ. But, like, the one at the near post that Salah cuts back for him.
Yeah.
And when he's put through at the end. The one at the end, actually, because it's so close to the end, that doesn't matter, does it? Yeah. That goes in, our job's still the same for the next 2 minutes. It's just don't concede a goal. But the other one, which is, like, with 15 minutes to go, I think, if that goes in, Napoli have then got to be scared of the counter and they can't commit as much.
Yeah.
Like,
I know it's a cliche, but that one was genuinely harder to miss. Like
the one that's
pulled back. Like, yeah. I there's a big target in front of you. I don't know
how
he misses.
Is on the floor.
Yeah.
He has made himself as small. He's literally curled up into the fetal position.
Yeah.
And gone like this. How he misses that, I've got genuinely no idea. I mean, we saw a bit of it from Napoli as well. Mercifully, there was the one that was put over at the back stick. Was it Callahan?
Yeah.
And the front, like, 10 rows of the Napoli fans all jumped and fell over the stand, which was quite funny and obviously slightly dangerous. Hashtag safe standing. Dear God. Like, there's a string, and I did it in the vlog. There's just chat. It's just constant, just grown men going, ah, you know, because it just builds up and builds up and builds up time and time again. That one, the one at the end where he goes clean through, just, I mean, you're right, it doesn't change the job, but just in terms of giving us that, like,
yeah.
And for him as well, his confidence of, like, putting in the back of the net.
Yeah. The thing is, though, he turns away, he smiles. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it'll massively, don't get me wrong, I think if he gets a chance against Man United, he buries it. I don't think he's going to be gutted. We're through. I don't think it's going to matter. It could have mattered, and Sadio, I genuinely mean that. I would have hunted you down, and it'd have been a straight to me. Do you know what I mean? But we'll let you off with that. You know, we're through. The job's done.
We will
done.
Let him off because he is class, of course, and it is one of those things. I like the fact that he's smiling because it shows that he's like, it's rueful, isn't it? He knows he can do better. He has done better. He scores lots of goals, Sadio Mane. But it would be nice if he got all of them horrendous misses out of his system when it doesn't matter. And hopefully not in the games moving forward. But yeah, we are through, Ross. The draw is on Monday. Virgil van Dijk will miss the first leg through suspension, which is a bit of a gutter. Potential last 16 opponents then: Dortmund, Barca, Porto, either Bayax. There you go, Bayax. Do you get what I mean by that, right? Bayern or Ajax, Real Madrid or Juventus. Thought?
I want anyone. I don't care who we get. Just really? Anyone, yeah. I think we've got the squad depth mentality, everything going for us this season, just to go, I don't care.
Does the fact that we've finished second mean that this first leg's at home?
I believe so.
Do you know what? With Van Dijk being out, I think that's the right way round for us.
Yeah. Mm.
I wouldn't want to go away to a European tie without him.
That's a good point, yeah. actually.
So maybe that'll be a blessing in the
and
skies.
And we saw, there. Actually, last season, the benefits. We reap the benefits of having the first legs at home, you know, the City game. By yeah. showing up and... I mean, it's not always going to be like Getting that, but by showing up and being and building up an advantage, you know, if we can do that without Van Dijk, that's,
well,
that's a tough
let's
task.
Be honest, we're garbage away from home in Europe.
Well, exactly, all, we, yeah. We need a head start.
Yeah, absolutely. We look back fondly at the Champions League, but... You know, like Rome away was hard watching.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we obviously did the business and the result was far closer than the actual whole the
all,
whole thing.
All I'm thinking is, like, you know, we're praying all the best for Joe Gomez and he's back in 6 weeks and everything's fine. With injuries like that, there can be a few complications. There's every chance come that second leg, Joe Gomez is not available. If we're away at the new camp and we've got to go there with Matip and Lovren mm-hmm. as the defensive duo, there's going to be a lot of nerves amongst the fans, the back line, the team, just because of what that defence has been like in the past. So, yeah, I'm glad Van Dijk misses the Anfield game out of the two of them.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly Google to find out when that...
We could actually do, I mean, it depends whether you're not, you care or not, but obviously City have won their group, so we can't draw them. But if United,
you can't draw country protection.
Yeah, but if United went and won their group tonight, I don't know what the situation is. That would take Juventus out of the equation, which would be fine if you ask me. So yeah. you're kind of cheering on United tonight just to take one option away if they win the group. Well, no, that's
I can't do that.
So the first leg, the first leg is either the 12th, 13th, or the 19th, 20th of February. Of around the 16, and the second leg is either the first week in March or the second week in March. So, Gomez, you'd like to think should be back. We should be fine, but yeah, I mean, obviously there are some permutations in this. I'm gonna level with you. I don't fear anyone. I once you're in
don't
the
fear anyone, but you want Porto.
Yeah, well, you know, but exactly. I think that, I mean, that's the thing. The thing for me is this. Particularly because of the league, and the league is just the most important thing for me. Now, we needed to get out. We needed to get into the last 16 because you should always get into the last 16 of the Champions League. That should be a minimum objective met, which we have done, so great. I am not... If provided we're able to put a good run in, a good fist of it, I don't mind. You know, if we get a really good team and we get knocked out by a really good team and we've put in a good shift, then you can go fair play, of course. But I want... I think Porto. So I'd like us to go far, and I'd like us to have an easier draw on the hope that Spurs get someone hard and City get someone hard, and that might just lead to a little bit of fixture could pile up. You know what I mean? It might make it difficult for them. That's a sneaky hope of mine, anyway.
If you had to take one of them out, who we couldn't have in the next round? Who would you take out? Who would you say we don't want them?
Barcelona.
Barca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Barca.
See, for me, it'd be Juventus.
I want Barca. I want to see Messi play at Anfield. I mean, maybe it's just the romantic side of me, but...
But he's on fire at the minute, isn't he?
Oh, no, he is, but I want a big
Barca,
game.
If we get Barca, I hope Messi's injured when they come to Anfield. I don't want to see him play at Anfield.
I want to play Real Madrid. I want to get that done. I want to get it done as soon as possible. I don't think they obviously are what they weren't anymore. They're going through a bit of a struggle, aren't they? I just like the idea. I don't want them in the semis. I don't want them in a final. Get them in the 16, but it's not a massive thing, and go and do them. So they've not got like a big thing, a big, you know, crest of a wave behind them, and all the history and all that kind of stuff. I think that gets thrown in the bin when it's in the round of 16. So I wouldn't mind just getting that done. And also it means that if we get them one, there's so many Real Madrid jumpers and training shirt that I've got that I wouldn't mind being able to wear again as soon as possible. If we can beat them, that'd be great.
You've probably got more confidence of doing them over two legs than meeting them in a final again. Because if you meet them in a final again, you know the shit hours are in experience that they've got of winning the competition before. It's difficult to overcome.
I wouldn't mind. We're talking about in the car again. If Ajax can beat Bayern and go top and finish top of the group, yeah. Amsterdam is going to be absolute carnage in February. So yeah, that should be... In March, it should be very, very
probably a lot of scouts are already going to be there.
Yeah, honestly, there's going to be lads watching that game tonight who are with EasyJet open. And the second that it looks like Ajax are sorted, they'll be getting that book just in case. Like, yeah, brilliant. So let us know your thoughts then in the comments. Who you think that you would like? Who would you let see Liverpool in the last 16? And does the Virgil van Dijk thing have an impact on that thinking at all? And as I say, yeah, it is free view week. I hope you're enjoying everything there. The Man of the Match podcast is out for you to check and see what the lads do with that. Chris has been ill this week. He normally does stats and tactics, so we've got a stats and tactics that he's done previously, which should still hold up. He does some amazing work.
It's about Alisson as well.
It's about Alisson, so if you want to get a bit more depth and detailed analysis on how amazing Alisson is, and why wouldn't you, do check out that show. And as I say, if you do it and you appreciate it and you like the extra content, you think, oh yeah, this is for me, then go and sign up. If you've always wondered why we ask and why we ask for it, just think of it and you want to support the channel, because the people who subscribe to the website make all the free stuff on YouTube possible ultimately. So yeah, they're the people who back us, who support us. If you want to become one of those supporters, then do that as well. It's free for the first month, then it's just £5 a month thereafter. So yeah, get involved. Some amazing content coming up over Christmas and beyond, and of course the Reds are fucking mustard. So what better time to get involved with it all? Other than that, stay tuned to the channel later on in the day and the week. We've got a build-up for Manchester United. That should be very fun. Other than that, gents, thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. Nice and one. I'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.